Welcome to episode 1426 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. The 10th commandment stands apart from the others. The first 9 forbid specific acts: murder, stealing, adultery, false witness, actions. But the 10th commandment forbids something internal.
You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor.
The commandment does not forbid taking what belongs to another. It forbids wanting it. Does not forbid the action. It forbids the desire. This is the only commandment that addresses the internal state before it manifests externally. It looks into the human heart and says, "This desire you are harboring, this wanting what is not yours, this is a violation." But what exactly is coveting? Everyone wants things. Everyone has desires. When does wanting become coveting? When does desire become sin? The answer is not that all wanting is wrong. Humans naturally desire. We desire food when hungry, desire rest when tired, desire connection with others. These are natural, healthy desires. But there is a difference between natural and disordered desires. Disordered desire is wanting something in a way that disrupts your peace. Wanting something that belongs to another. Wanting in a way that creates restlessness in your soul. In a way that makes you dissatisfied with what you have. James 4:1-3.
What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures.
Notice the progression. Desire leads to conflict. Coveting leads to quarreling. The person who covets but cannot obtain becomes anxious, angry, resentful. This is the heart of the distinction. Natural desire can be satisfied and then rest. You are hungry. You eat. You are satisfied. But covetous desire cannot rest. It always wants more. It looks at what others have and becomes dissatisfied. Coveting is characterized by restlessness. It is an unsettled state of the soul. A colleague gets a promotion. Instead of celebrating, you feel bitter. Feel passed over. You want that promotion for yourself. You cannot rest till you have what the other person has. A friend buys a new house. You see it and become dissatisfied with your own home. You begin to covet your friend's house. Your own home, with which you were satisfied before, now feels inadequate. Someone posts a vacation photo on social media. You want that vacation, want that experience, want what the other person has. You cannot enjoy your own life because you are focused on what someone else has. That restlessness is the mark of coveting. An inability to be satisfied. Constant comparing. A perpetual sense that what you have is not enough because someone else has more. Proverbs 14, verse 30.
A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones.
A heart at peace produces well-being. But the covetous desire to have what someone else has rots the bones. Destroys from the inside. Another dimension of coveting is that it involves wanting what belongs to another. Not wanting in general, but wanting what is specifically not yours. You might desire a house. That is not necessarily coveting. But if you desire your neighbor's specific house, if you wish that house were yours instead of theirs, that is coveting. You might desire a spouse. Fine. But if you covet your friend's spouse, if you wish your friend's marriage would fail so you could be with that person, that is coveting. This specificity matters. Coveting is not just wanting more in general. It is wanting what specifically belongs to another. Wishing that what is theirs were yours. This reveals something important about coveting. It involves a kind of theft mentality. You are mentally claiming something not yours, fantasizing about taking it, wishing it were different, that another did not have it. In our modern age, we have normalized covetous desire in ways previous generations might not have. Follow your desires. Want what you want? Dream big. We treat desire as something to be celebrated and pursued. But the 10th commandment makes a crucial distinction. Not all desire is good. Not all wanting is healthy. Consider the language of advertising. Advertising's entire purpose is to create desire. To make you want what you do not have. To make you dissatisfied with what you do have. To make you covet what someone else has. A dealer tries to entice you with a luxury car. They want you to become dissatisfied with your current car and work toward having that car. A social media influencer shows a curated life, perfect home, body, vacation. The algorithm ensures you see it repeatedly. The intention is to create desire, to make you want that life. A fashion brand markets a status symbol, not because of its functional superiority, but because owning it signals status. The company wants you to covet what others have. They want you to feel incomplete without it. All of this is designed to trigger coveting, to make you dissatisfied with what you have and desirous of what you do not have. A Gallup survey finds that 60% of Americans feel they do not have enough money. This is true across income levels. Even among those earning more than $100,000 per year, a majority feel they lack sufficient resources. This is not about survival. It is about wanting more than what one has. A study by the American Psychological Association found people who prioritize money and status over other values report lower levels of well-being and higher levels of anxiety and depression. The more you covet, the less satisfied you become. Research on social media shows that people who frequently compare their lives to others' curated lives experience higher rates of depression and anxiety. Comparison breeds coveting. Coveting breeds dissatisfaction. In 1 Kings 21, King Ahab covets Naboth's vineyard. He wants it. He offers to buy it or exchange it. Naboth refuses, but Ahab cannot let it go. He covets what is not his. His wife arranges false testimony against Naboth. Naboth is executed. Ahab takes the vineyard. But the consequence is judgment. Ahab's house is destroyed. His family is slaughtered. Coveting leads to theft, murder, and ultimately to judgment. Historians note the decline of Rome was accelerated by moral decay, including rampant coveting and greed. Citizens coveted status and wealth. Leaders coveted power and expansion. This led to corruption, internal conflict, and eventual collapse. Prior to the 2008 housing crisis, lenders and borrowers alike were seized by covetous desire. Lenders coveted profits. Borrowers coveted homes they could not afford. Financial institutions coveted short-term gains. The result was a financial collapse that destroyed millions of lives and cost trillions of dollars. Coveting on a massive scale produced catastrophic consequences. But perhaps the most important thing to understand about coveting is that it is internal. It happens in the heart before it manifests externally. You might commit all the other commandments externally. You might not murder, not steal, not commit adultery. But internally, you might covet. Internally, you might harbor desires that, if acted upon, would violate the other commandments. This is why the 10th commandment comes last. The first 9 commandments deal with external actions. The 10th deals with the internal condition that generates those actions. Matthew 15, verse 19.
For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander.
Evil actions originate internally. They are generated by disordered desires. Through this commandment, God is saying, address the coveting in your heart, the disordered desire. Because if you do not, that desire will eventually manifest in external actions. The 10th commandment is unique because it forbids not an action but a desire. This might seem less serious than the other commandments, but it is actually the deepest. Coveting is not just wanting more. It is wanting wrongly in a way that unsettles the soul. Wanting what belongs to another. The dissatisfaction that arises when we compare ourselves to others. And coveting, left unchecked, leads to all the other violations. It is the root from which other sins grow. It is the deepest commandment. It addresses not what we do, but who we are. It addresses the orientation of our hearts. The 10th commandment calls us to examine our desires, calls us to notice where we are coveting, calls us to cultivate hearts satisfied with what God has given. Hearts that can celebrate what others have. Father, help us examine our hearts. Help us notice where we are coveting. Help us see that covetous desire creates restlessness rather than satisfaction. Help us understand that what we want internally will eventually manifest externally. Help us cultivate hearts satisfied with what you have given us. Help us celebrate what others have without being consumed by the desire to have that ourselves. Help us understand that the greatest battles are fought within, in the desires of our hearts. And help us develop hearts at peace, rather than hearts consumed by coveting. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today,